ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Very elaborate explanation of the purport of the two chapters. Raga means attachment, Bhaya means fear, and Krodha is anger. So what are these three things? Attachment is those who are very, very materially attached and who consider material attachments to be all in all. They can never gain any understanding about God. And even if they at all have to understand about God, the Shastras give some explanation of the Virat Rupa. Where it is explained that the Lord is very great. The mountains are like his bones, the trees are like his hair, the rivers are like his wings, the Chandra and Surya are like his two eyes, the Atala, Atala, Vitala, Sitala, Mahatala, Tatala, Talatala, Patala. This can also describe how the Patala is like his feet, so Mahatala is like his knee. So it is all described. And in this way, the Shastras describe the Virat Rupa or the cosmic manifestation itself, which can be assumed to be the Lord's form. So it's one material form. So for such people, this form is prescribed for worship. So those are the people who are attached, who are materialistically attached, and who cannot understand the spiritual conception of the Lord. It is difficult for them to understand Krishna's personal form. And with any amount of knowledge, they cannot appreciate Krishna to be God. But they will always consider him to be ordinary human being. Because according to their conception, God means he has to be very great. Many times, he is even impersonalist. When Krishna appears as a Shyam Sundara, a twofold bending form with his two hands holding the flute, they cannot accept him to be God. But when Krishna blows up and shows the Visharupa Darshan, they say, this is God. So God has to show such a from question to Prime Minister when he is at home. He need not show to his relatives that I am Prime Minister. He behaves in a very sweet way. But if somebody wants to know actually what is his power, he can exhibit it. How he can control all the departments all over India. He has control over every department. He can just, by one phone call, he can control so many things. So in the same way, Krishna, when he appears as Visharupa, his materialists appreciate that form more, or the Virat form. And there are also impersonalists who are extremely fearful of a spiritual identity. You may wonder why should they fear a spiritual identity. In fact, we all are working in our spiritual life to attain a stage when we can revive our spiritual identity. Why should somebody be fearful of spiritual identity? Because this materialist, this Mayavadis have a conception that this body which has a form is the source of all misery. It gives so much suffering. So if you have to get out of suffering, you have to get out of this body, which is having form. So we should not have any form. We should become formless. This is the conception. Similarly, in this world, why are we suffering? Because we have desires. So we have to become desireless. That is the conception. So they think because we have desires, because we have form, because we are doing activity, we are suffering. That means you have to achieve a stage where you have no activity, no desires and no form. Then you can become peaceful. This is the wrong conception. So according to them, you get out of all the activities of the material world and merge into impersonal void, impersonal Brahman, so that you can become peaceful. So this is the understanding. So they have a fear. If you tell them that we have a personal identity after liberation, they become extremely fearful. Already we are suffering with this body so much. Do we have to have another body after we get liberated? Oh, no body. We don't want any body. This is their understanding. But they do not know that the body that we achieve after liberation is actually a pure spiritual body. It has no inabilities of the material body. It doesn't have old age, disease, death, miseries, nothing. actually sits down in the body. So that is the fear here that Krishna is talking about. Maya. And Krodha. And some people, they hear all kinds of philosophies. They go to all kinds of organizations, they hear all kinds of philosophies, and they are not satisfied with anything. And they get bored. And after so much of speculation, they arrive at a stage where they become thoroughly confused and conclude that the ultimate truth is void. Ultimate truth is shunya. It has no form. It doesn't exist. This is the ultimate conception. So these are the people who become like that kind of Buddhist type people. Prabhupada used to tell an example, like once a boy got cataract in his eyes. So one of his uncles came, and the parents asked the uncles, what should we do? He has got a cataract in his eyes. So one uncle said, the best thing is to remove his eyes. To remove his eyes, then he will be free from suffering. Another uncle came. He suggested, better you kill him, so that he will not have to see him suffering. Better kill him. Now the third uncle came, and he suggested that his cataract has to be cured. If he cures his cataract, then he will be able to see, and will be able to lead a happy life. In the same way, these three examples I gave you, they represent three different schools of understanding about God. First one is, what did the first answer? He said, you remove the eyes. Similarly, the impersonalists have actually impersonalists also believe in existence beyond, after this life. But their existence is that you become desireless, you become activityless, you become completely devoid of activity and desires. That is like removing the eyes. That means they say, we don't want any eyes, we don't want, this person will not be able to see, they say it is all right. So let us become inactive. And Buddhists are telling, what do they say? So kill the person himself. You don't want him. You go into void. You go into nirvana. That is their conception. Voidism. Shunyavada. But the Bhaktas say, of course we are suffering, but what is the cause of suffering? Because of the cataract we are suffering. And the cataract can be cured. When it is cured, then we will be able to see properly. So, devotees suggest that we have to cure our material disease and engage in real activity in the spiritual world. In fact, the material world is simply a reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are so many activities going on, constantly. And what we are doing here is simply a material, it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Krishna, it is telling in Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, that for a person who is developing society, friendship, and love in this material world, house becomes like a, you know, the chain they put in the forest for catching animals, you know, a particular kind of tabernacle they call it. I think tabernacle. Tabernacle, if your leg goes into that, then you cannot escape. So Bhagavatam says your house is like a tabernacle which catches your feet for those who are attached to temporary relationships. And the sweet relations that we develop with friends and relatives, the sweet relations that we develop with the friends and relatives is like a tabernacle. The house becomes like a prison house. Grihamkara griham yata, he says. Grihamkara griham means the house becomes like a prison house for such a person. So this material world has house, it has friendship, it has relatives, it has so-called love, but all this is temporary. It's like a bubble in the ocean. It's going to disappear in no time. So, we are taught in the scriptures that one should not be attached to the temporary relationships of the material world. But at the same time, one should not foolishly think there are no relationships. God has no form. That is utter foolishness. God and the Supreme God, the ultimate level, has a beautiful form. In fact, God's beauty and God's intelligence can be seen pervading the entire creation. In the beautiful showers, in the beautiful ocean, in the beautiful mountains, in the intelligence of the people, strength of the people. We see the large opulences available in this world in minute traces. Like Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Yadya Vibhuti Matsatram, Srimat Urjita Nevada, Tattat Eva Vatatatam, Mama Teja Amsha Sambhava. My Teja Amsha, he says, it's my small Amsha of my Teja. And you see beauty, you see knowledge, you see intelligence, you see strength, you see renunciation. These are all actually tiny qualities of Krishna attributed to the living entities. So the Lord is one who possesses all these appearances in its completeness. And he is called as a Rasa Vigraha. Rasa Vigraha means one who is a reservoir of all the mellows. And in the Vedanta it is explained, Rasa Vai Saha means the Lord extended his love with all his devotees, being a Rasa Vigraha. That is the only business. He has no other work. You see Krishna in Vrindavan playing on his flute, playing with the covered boys, dancing with the gopis, and exhibiting his childish pranks with Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So this is the only business of the Lord. That means he is just exhibiting pastimes for the love of his devotees. So coming to that level of understanding is like doctorate studies. In the beginning stages, if one gets detached from the material world, that is like the kindergarten. So that's like the kindergarten studies. One becomes detached from the material world. But after getting detached, what should we do? That is a big question mark for many people. So many of them get caught up in any one of these bogus philosophies. In fact, besides this, there are many other philosophies in India. There is Jaimini, there is Kannada, there is Gautama, there is Charvaka. Each of them propound different wrong philosophies. Jaimini propounded karma mimamsa. Similarly, Charvaka propagated atheism. And Gautama preached voidism. In this way, there are many other deviant philosophies which ultimately don't take one to the Supreme Truth. Sankhya, atheistic Sankhya, and atheistic Kapila proposed atheistic Sankhya philosophy. So in this way, there are many other philosophies which take a person away. So Krishna is here warning Arjuna, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha. Arjuna becomes free from the Raga, attachment, the attachment materialist, Bhaya. He becomes free from the fear of spiritual identity, Krodha. Those people who become angry out of frustration of not being able to find absolute truth and thinking that absolute truth is simply a void. Manmaya mama pashritaha, simply fix your mind in me. Matmaya, you completely fix yourself in me. Bhagavodhyana tapasa puta madhava magataha. Krishna has given an evidence that in the past there have been many great sages who did like that. They fixed their attention on me. And all of them, they succeeded in achieving me. In the same way, Arjuna, you also can succeed. If you fix yourself, your mind intelligence on me. So, Prabhupada and the purpose we have discussed, according to Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, the science of devotion service is explaining Adarsh. Adarsh Shuddha Adarsh Sadhu Sangho Atabhadana Kriya Tato Anartana Virupkasya Tato Nishtara Chuttata Adasakti Tato Bhavas Tato Teba Ivanjati Sadakana Mayam Penna Tadir Bhavi Bhavet Krama. I read this translation, it is very important. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master. And under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness in self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the primary stage of transcendental love for God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest professional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being free from all material attachment, from fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from frustrations that result in wise philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. So this is what beautifully describes the different stages of a sincere practitioner of devotional service. We will try to understand these different stages to some extent. So initially, the first stage is called a Shraddha, as explained here. Shraddha means faith. When a person comes in contact with devotees, when he hears the subject matter, somehow or other, he develops some deep faith in the scriptures that discuss about bhakti. So some faith comes in his heart. That is classes of bhakti, which talks about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the living entity. It has to be true. He gets some faith in that. Shraddha also means that one becomes very enthusiastic to extend devotional service to the Supreme God. That is what we call as Shraddha. That is also a manifestation of one's Shraddha. And when one engages in devotional service, that one develops such a faith, then naturally one approaches a spiritual master and inquires from him, what is the sadachara? What is the proper conduct for a human being to do? What should one do and what should one not do? Then the spiritual master instructs him that what is righteous and what is not righteous. And through the association of the spiritual master, he also gains the association of so many others who are like-minded devotees. Or devotees are very realized, he gets that association. That is called a sadhu sangha. So the Shraddha can be sabhaviki or balavuttarika. Balavuttarika means by a forceful preacher, when he preaches very strongly, then a person will become detached from the materialistic way of life and become attracted to spiritual life. Or sabhaviki means naturally, spontaneously he has some Shraddha from the previous life. Then he advances in the Shraddha. Then he achieves the sadhu sangha. So in sadhu sangha, he derives a very great pleasure. And while living in sadhu sangha, balavuttarika. Balavuttarika, it's called. Balavuttarika means by forceful preaching, somebody may develop more Shraddha. So after he achieves the sadhu sangha, of like-minded devotees and realized devotees, then he begins to advance in spiritual life. He comes to the stage of Bhajana Kriya. First I'll tell you all the stages, and then we will go a little bit deeper into every stage. Then Bhajana Kriya means chanting. He chants the holy names. And by sincere chanting, gradually he achieves the stage of Anartana Vritti. In Anartana Vritti, all his anarthas are removed gradually, and he goes to the stage of Nishtha. Nishtha is a very stage where he has a very strong faith. In all the knowledge that he has developed the attraction for Krishna, and he has developed the attraction for the knowledge that he has learned, and he has a very strong faith. And even if he is unable to defeat others, personally he has complete faith in what he has learned. That is Nishtha. And after Nishtha comes Ruchi, the real nectar or taste for spiritual life. And after Ruchi comes Asakti. Asakti means a very strong attachment to Krishna. So the mature stage of Asakti is called as Bhava or Rati. Both are same actually. It's called as Rati or Bhava. So Bhava is actually the waves of ecstasy that a devotee feels, which are present in the ocean of prema. The prema is considered to be ocean, and the bhava is like the waves. So ultimately devotee reaches the stage of prema bhakti. Prema or the pure love for Krishna. So these stages are very greatly elaborated by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and other great acharyas who have practically studied these different phases that a devotee undergoes and what experiences he feels. All these things are very vividly described in the scriptures. That is why it is called as science of devotional service, Prabhupada explains. Science means you have an experiment, you have analysis, and then you have an observation, and then you write the results, and then you study the results, isn't it? In the same way, the path of bhakti is also presented very scientifically by the great acharyas. So I was telling about the Shraddha and Sadhu Sangha. So when one comes to Bhajana Kriya, in the beginning the Bhajana Kriya is called as Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. Anishtita means there is no Nishtha in this type of Bhajana Kriya. And one is very, very shaken in spiritual life in this particular stage. Because when one is practicing this stage, one will undergo many, many different types of emotions. Like it is explained, one may, in the beginning stages, experience Utsahamayi. Utsahamayi means just like a Brahmana boy when he goes to school for studying the Vedic literatures. Even after studying a few slokas, he starts thinking, now I have mastered the Vedas. He feels very proud. He quotes one of the slokas and he thinks, now I am a big master. In the same way, a devotee reads some portions of the devotional scriptures and starts thinking that I have mastered everything. And I have so much enthusiasm. This is called as Utsahamayi. And still another stage is called as Ghanatarala. Ghana means condense. Tarala means dilute. So Ghanatarala means sometimes he is very thick in his spiritual life, and sometimes he is very, very valued. That means at some occasions he is very serious in chanting and reading and executing devotional service. At other times he becomes completely valued. He becomes very weak and neglects spiritual life. So that is called as Ganatara. Then there is a higher stage called as Yuda Sankalpa. Yuda Sankalpa is a stage where it is called as extensive speculation. That's the meaning of Yuda Sankalpa. He extensively speculates this household life is so difficult, and the Shastras are saying that one should not become attached to family life. Better I should give up everything and go to Vrindavan and become a devotee of the Lord. When will the day come when I will roll on the ground of Vrindavan and cry out, Hey Radha, Hey Krishna? He feels like that at one time. Another time he feels, even the Shastras say that this is not limited only to the sannyasis. It is available for everyone. Even in family life, so many people have perfected. After all, majority of the Mahajanas are grihasthas. So many grihasthas are perfected in their bhakti. So let me stay in the household life and let me perform bhakti to the best extent possible. And sometimes he considers the example of Bharata. He became attracted to Krishna's love that he could easily reject the worldly life. Why can't I do like that? So his mind keeps on jumping from one hand renunciation and the other hand enjoyment. This is called as Yuda Sankalpa. This goes on in his life. Then he goes to still higher stage called as Vishaya Sangraha. Vishaya Sangraha is a stage where there is an ongoing battle in the mind of a devotee to control the sense gratificatory desires. Constantly the mind is applying so many types of sense gratification, the devotee keeps on trying to escape from them and kick them away. Sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. This is called as Vishaya Sangraha. He is not able to win all the time. And still higher, there is a stage called as Niyamakshama. In the Niyamakshama stage, sometimes devotee makes a vow, a determined vow. Today onwards, instead of 16 rounds, I will chant 25 rounds. That is it. My chanting has become so horrible. Henceforth, I will chant 25 rounds. At the same day, he is unable to go beyond 16. Sometimes he makes a vow, today is Ekadashi, I will fast today. Entire day, I will fast and hear and chant the Lord's holy names. When he is thinking of fasting in the afternoon, he automatically goes to take food, take prasad. So in this way, he makes a vow, but he has no strength to follow those vows. He usually fails in his vows. That stage is called as Niyamakshama. And then at last he comes to a stage called as Tarangarangini. Taranga means, what is Taranga? Taranga is waves. When one does bhakti, he becomes very opulent. Opulent in what sense? Bhakti itself is so attractive that when a person possesses bhakti, he becomes a source of attraction for many people. People come to give him gifts, people come to give him wealth, people come to give him respects, people give him post and position, fame and name, all these things come. And they all are summarized in three categories called as puja, labh and pratishtha. So these are all these things count as the bhakti. Actually, the bhakti creeper, when it is growing, along with it some beads also grow. When you pour water, the main plant grows and the weeds also grow. Sometimes the weeds grow bigger than the main plant. So the main plant gets choked up in between. Similarly, sometimes while doing bhakti, our puja, labha, pratishtha, these things grow so bigger that we don't advance in spiritual life. Rather, we are just inflating our false ego in this way. So this is called as Tarangarangini. Taranga means small waves that appear in the ocean of bhakti. Bhakti is like a vast ocean. In that there are some small waves which are the benefits that, what you call, byproduct benefits that come along with bhakti. But one gets, Tarangini means one delights in the small wave, thinking that this is everything. He is sitting in the small wave and thinking this is the entire ocean of bhakti. Now I become a great devotee. He thinks like that. That's why it's called as Tarangarangini. So these are all different stages that come when a person is an Anishtita Bhajanakriya. That means he is doing bhajan, he is chanting Hare Krishna, but all these different stages are coming one by one. He is not yet perfected in that. So, after this Bhajanakriya comes Anarthanivritti. Anarthas are many. Anarthanivritti are anarthas arising from the past sins. They are called as Dushkrutartha. There are anarthas arising from past pious activities. They are called as Sukrutartha. Dushkrutartha. Dushkrutartha means anarthas arising from the past sinful activities. There are anarthas arising from past good activities. They are called as Sukrutartha. There are anarthas arising from apradhas called as apradhartha. And there are anarthas arising from while performing bhakti. Some anarthas arise. They are called as Pratyeta. So there are four types of anattas. These anattas also explained very nicely. What are these anattas? The Sukrutota anattas are those due to the past activities, a person desires to enjoy material benefits. Or a person desires to achieve liberation. These two are called as Sukrutota. Either to achieve material benefits or to achieve liberation. Sukrutota, it is categorized broadly into five. The first is called as avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance of one's own self. I am not the body, I am the soul. One doesn't know that. One is identifying himself with the body. And also ajnanta. Avidya also represents ignorance about everything. There is no knowledge. Second is called as asmita. Asmita is actually false ego. That is only talking about the body, identifying oneself with the body. Avidya, asmita, raga. Raga means attachment to pleasure and aversion to anything that leads to pain. That means the devotee wants to get out of suffering. He doesn't want, even in suffering, he is putting some suffering situation, he tries very gradually to escape from it. He doesn't want to take it. So, similarly, dvesha means you have aversion to suffering. So, avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha. The fifth one is called as abhinivesha. Abhinivesha means complete absorption in material consciousness due to which fear arises in the heart of a person. It is called as abhinivesha. So these five things come in Pishkritata. That means to the past sense. These five things matter. These are very difficult to overcome. These five things which I told just now. So we have Sukritata and Dishkritata. Similarly we have Apradata. Apradata, generally people think that all the apradas are included in that. But it is wrong. Only the Nama Apradha is included in this. Because the Seva Apradha that I mentioned, the Rupa Goswami, 64, like entering the temple in a palanquin, you know, showing the feet to the Lord, all these Apradhas, they are also certainly offenses. But the sincere chanting of a devotee, these Apradhas will vanish very quickly. Very soon. If the devotee doesn't maintain a wrong mentality, and intentionally he doesn't perform these Seva Apradhas, then they will be vanquished simply by nice chanting. But the Nama Apradhas will take a long time to vanish. In one of our seminars, we were discussing elaborately about Nama Pradha. So, the Nama Pradhas are a direct offense to the Lord, because Lord is non-distant from His name. In fact, when one chants offensively, one completely loses all taste for chanting. One simply becomes devoid of any taste for chanting. He becomes like a sick person who is full of fever. A person having fever has a bitter tongue. He cannot taste palatable foodstuffs. He cannot taste halwa, jalebi, nice delicious preparations. So he has to take some treatment first. First he has to take medicine. And even after cured, even after he is cured, immediately he cannot eat anything. It takes time. So one chance, apraj yuktanam, with apraj, it takes a long time for a person to become free from such tendency, and then gradually a person develops taste. Even by devotional service, for entering devotional service, still apradi, a nama apradi, cannot very easily escape from this kind of distaste. So one has to have a very great fear that I should not commit nama apradha. So this apradhata is considered very important. Apradhata anartha. Then there are bhaktata, another thing which I told you just now. Puja, lab and satishtha. So these are all the different anarthas that one has to cross over. So this is crossed over in the stage of anartha nivritti. That is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Srimatam sakata krishna punya sadhana kirtana hridayantastra shatatrani vajanati sukhatsatam. It says, Srimatam, if one attentively hears, Srimatam sakata krishna, if one hears the krishna kata attentively, then what happens? His heart is cleansed of all the anarthas. Vidunoti Surasatam, by the Lord who is seated in the heart of the devotee as a super soul. And he completely removes all the anarthas. So, the Shunyatam Sakata Krishna, that line represents the Anishtita Bhajana Kriya. Because Bhajana Kriya includes chanting and hearing. And the second line of this verse represents the Anartha Nivritti. We all got it. Shunyatam Sakata Krishna, Punya Shavana Kirtanata. That represents Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, where a devotee is hearing and chanting. And then second line says, Hridayantastra Shavadrani Vidunoti, that represents Dhanartha Navrati. That's what it takes place. after another mystical state, what happens? Then you achieve a state called as Nishchita Bhajana Kriya. That Nishchita Bhajana Kriya is only called as Nishtha. In simple words, it is called as Nishtha. So that is also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is only one attends Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. It gives his attendance every morning. Then what happens? What is the sloka? Then everybody knows. Nishtha Prayesha Bhagveshu Nityam Vajavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagati Nashtiki. The word Nashtiki is it. Then achieve the stage of Nishtha by giving regular attendance to Srimad Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada writes it like that in the translation. Regular attendance in the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, Nashta Prayesha. Nashta means destroyed. Nashta Prayesha Abhadrisha. All the Abhadra will be destroyed. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By reading Srimad Bhagavatam on an everyday basis. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhagavata Nashtiki. He once had the bhakti for the Uttama Shloka Lord, who is lyrical the choice poetry, is established as an irrevocable fact, very strongly. One cannot, one feels a very strong devotion to the Lord at the stage of Nishtha Bhakti. Actually, there is one deeper fact which I didn't tell you. When we talk of Anatta Nivritti, it's not that in Anatta Nivritti stage, all the anarthas are finished and then you go to Nishtha. It's not like that. The anarthas are many, as I told you, which come from Bhaktivata, Atradata, Sukritata, Vishkritata, and they gradually disappear in many stages from Nishtha and receive some get over in Asakti stage. So it may take many more steps to get rid of this anarthas. The example is given in the Nyaya Shastra. Gramo Dagda Pato Bhagna Logic is called. Gramo Dagda Pato Bhagna, meaning Gramo Dagda means the town is burned. Pato Bhagna means the plot is torn. What is this logic? When you say town is burned, that means is the entire town burned? No. Some part of the town will be still not burnt. You say Pato Bhagna means when the cloth is torn, after the cloth is torn, but still the pieces of cloth are still there, existing. In the same way, the Anartha Nivritti is, this logic is used there. Gramo Dagda and Pato Bhagna. That means the anarthas are not completely destroyed. That's why he says, Nashta Prayesha, the word Prayaha is used. Almost destroyed. That means in the Nishtha stage, all of them are not destroyed. There are five steps in that, which explain that. Ekadesha Vartani. Ekadesha Vartani means, a small partial portion of the anarthas are destroyed. Bahudesha Vartani means, it is pervasive. That means a large amount of anarthas are destroyed. Prayiki means, it's almost complete. Purna means complete. And then last is called Atyantiki, where it is absolutely destroyed. So there are five levels of anartha destruction. It's not that in one shot everything is destroyed. So I will not go deep into this fact because every anartha gets gradually destroyed over different stages. But by the stage of asakti, almost all the anarthas are destroyed completely. So this is explained very nicely. Yagiraja Vatni, Bhagavadaja Vatni, Prayiki, Purna, and then Atyantiki. So at different stages, how Tanatas are partially destroyed, and then pervasive, and then complete, almost complete, and then complete, and absolutely destroyed. In this way, in the Asakti stage only, all Tanatas are destroyed. But still, although Tanatas are existing in the Nishtha stage, and Ruchi stage also, they don't become a trouble in the advancement of devotional service. Whereas now our anarthas are so prominent that they are directly coming in the way of our devotional service in this stage. Whereas beyond the stage of anartha nivritti, although the anarthas are existing in traces, they don't become a great hindrance in the advancement of a sincere devotee. They may come and go, but a sincere devotee is never affected by them. Like that. So after anartha nivritti, a devotee goes to the stage of Nishtha. So in Nishtha, from Nishtha to Ruchi, transition also only gradually takes place. In the stage of Nishtha, there are five other anarthas also which trouble a devotee, due to which he is not able to become very strong in Nishtha. They are easy to understand. They are laya. Laya means sleep, feeling sleepy during devotional service. That means during the kirtana, or during shravanam, or during japa, and one feels sleepy. That is called as laya. Vikshepa means distraction, like gossiping with someone during chanting. that is called as Vikshoka, that is Apratipati, indifference to the holy name. That is occasional, it is said, it doesn't happen always. Apratipati means indifference, showing indifference to the holy name. And there is Kashaya. Kashaya means lust, greed. And there are still there in the stage of Nishtha. So, they are called as bad habits that we have cultivated in the previous lives. And then Rasavada. Rasavada means when you're doing devotional service and releasing great pleasure, that all of a sudden there is a sense object which tries to attract him. In the presence of sense object, he is unable to render devotional service. He becomes attracted to that. That is called as Rasavada. In this way, these five obstacles come in the path of a bhakta during the Nishtha stage, which he has to cross over. And then if he has crossed over all these five troubles, then he achieves the mature state of Nishtha, which is called as Ruchi. This is the Ruchi that Rupa Goswami is talking about. When he is talking the shloka, Sat Krishna nama charita adhisita pragutta pitto patattara samasama rochikana kintya garadana dinam kalusa yuvadishta sadvi kama bhavati tadgirta molahanti. He says that the jaundiced person is unable to appreciate the sugar cane juice because of his disease condition. In the same way, in the beginning stages of our devotional life, we are unable to appreciate the sweet name of Krishna. It is somehow or other not tasty for us because we are diseased. But the same sugar cane juice becomes very sweet and nectarian when we become free from the disease. In the same way, at the stage of Ruchi 1, there is a very great taste for the holy name. So this example of sugar cane juice is so appropriate. It is so fitting. Because sugar cane juice, is it sweet or is it bitter? It is sweet. Similarly, the holy name is always sweet, whether a neophyte chants it or a Mahabhagavad devotee chants it. It is always sweet. But the sugar cane juice, it's bitter for a diseased person. In the same way, the holy name, although it is naturally sweet, it is bitter for a neophyte devotee. So this example is very, very appropriate. So in the Ruchi stage, one has intense addiction to Krishna's devotion service. And one doesn't never become fatigued by chanting and hearing. One can incessantly go on and on and on for hours and hours and doing devotion service. This is the stage of Ruchi. Okay, Ruchi also, there are many, many stages of time. Maybe we can understand the two stages in Ruchi. One is called as Vastu Vaishishti Apekshini. Vastu Vaishishti Apekshini means a devotee is having Ruchi only based on certain conditions. As if somebody sings Harikshna Mantra very sweetly, with nice follow-up of instruments and with a nice voice, then a devotee experiences a great ecstasy. Or somebody is performing great worship with all the required articles properly. Or somebody is giving a lecture with proper rest, chant and alankar, he is quoting verses. Then the devotee is attracted. This colors Vastu Vaishishti Apekshini. Whereas Vastu Vaishishti Anapekshini means a devotee without somebody can sing in Vrindavan, if you go sometimes the devotees, you see them clapping hands in an odd way. Somebody is singing in one tune and another person is clapping hands in an odd way. Still, the devotee starts jumping and very ecstatically dancing. He feels a great Ruchi. Similarly, anybody who talks about Krishna, whether neophyte talks or advanced devotee talks, he is ready to hear and appreciate it very much. That is why Vastu Vaishishti Anapekshini. So, in the first stage, it is said there is dosha bas, due to which a person is limited to certain conditions, due to which only he is able to appreciate the Lord's name chanted or the sweet nectar in pastimes of the Lord. So in this way, in Ruchi also there are many stages. But right from the stage of Ruchi, one starts talking to oneself. One starts appreciating the glories of Krishna oneself. Like a devotee in the Ruchi stage, you talk, oh, I am so fallen. When I hear about gossip, both my ears stand erect and I want to hear all the gossip about all the other Vaishnavas. But when I am asked to hear Krishna Gata, I immediately go asleep and fall asleep. See, what a pity. I am so fallen. In this way, a devotee in the Ruchi stage starts regretting how many years I wasted in this world. So many years I wasted not serving Krishna, like the great poet Narasimha Das Thakur sang, Hari Hari Gosala Janamoga Nayanu. In this way, the devotee curses himself. And then one comes to the mature stage of Ruchi called as Asakti. There is one difference between Ruchi and Asakti. In the Ruchi stage, a person So goal is devotional service. She renders devotional service. But in asakti stage, the person is rendering service directly to the form of the Lord. That's the difference. In which stage, the person is attracted to different devotional service, like shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, and all different things. Whereas in the asakti stage, one is directly attracted to the personality of God and his essence. He directly starts observing them. That is the stage of asakti. In fact, asakti is given such a credit that the person in the asakti stage, it is considered to be the bud. And then bhava stage is called as the flower. And prema stage is called as the fruit. So the bud of love of God develops at the stage of asakti. Asakti means a very deep attachment to Krishna. In this stage, one feels a very great humility. And one feels a very, very close connection with Krishna. So, in this stage of asakti, when one has developed such attraction for Krishna, one will not want anything of the material world. He is actually free from all the anarchas. Puja, labh, pratishtha, and all the other sukhruta, tadishkruta, everything is gone now. He is completely free from all the anarchas. Due to which he feels extremely humble. And he is speaking, when he sees a devotee in the early morning, he will receive a devotee. Oh, great devotee, I am so fortunate to see you this early morning. Why are you so merciful to me that you are giving me your darshan, having come back from Vrindavan? Please tell me all the places that you have gone, Vrindavan, all the great devotees that you met, and all the great realizations that you carried from them. Please tell all of them to me, like that the devotee glorifies another. In this way, when you see somebody carrying Srimad Bhagavatam, the very sight of Bhagavatam makes his heart stand on end. That is devotee in the asakti stage. He says, oh, great devotee, you are carrying Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all the Puranas, and it is decorating your two hands. Please come here, sit next to me, and give me the rain drops of nectar for this, for my ears which are like a chatterbox bird, which are hankering to hear some voice in the 10th canto. Please recite it for me so that I can taste the nectar of Krishna Katha. And when the devotee speaks, when this devotee is in asakti, he completely goes into trance, and all his hands have trance on end, and exhibits ecstatic symptoms. So in this way, he appreciates the association of devotees so much. He appreciates it. In fact, when he goes to the assembly of Vaishnavas, he raises both hands and shouts, oh, I am so fortunate to come into the assembly of such great Vaishnavas. Today my life has become perfect and successful. Just by the very sight of this Vaishnavas, by their association, I have become free from all my sins, and I will also enter devotion service along with them. That's what this is. When his spiritual master calls him and gives him a special privilege of talking to him, when this devotee feels so humble and so lowly, he bows down to the spiritual master, and tears start flowing from his eyes, and is glorifying the spiritual master, that how the spiritual master delivered him, how he brought him out of the most dangerous material world. And even the spiritual master calls him by his name, he feels very greatly fortunate that I have been given the privilege of being attached to the spiritual master. So in this way, a person in asakti stage is very, very attached to Krishna. Complete attachment has developed in such a person. So in this way, a devotee in asakti starts releasing Krishna's love, asakti stage onwards. And this stage happens more and more and more when one comes to the bhava. And bhava, as I told you, it is like the waves of ecstasy that occurs in the heart of a devotee. And from bhava stage onwards, one starts searching for Krishna everywhere. And when one comes to the prema stage, there are two kinds of emotions experiences. Sometimes he experiences a very great anxiety searching for Krishna, and then immediately there is a great relief from anxiety that he achieves Krishna. So when he feels an anxiety, it is like a sharp shaft piercing his heart, and immediately when he sees Krishna, it is like the shaft melting, like ice melting into water. In this way, he experiences varied emotions in the stage of prema. In the prema stage, there are many, many other things experienced. The devotee completely becomes oblivious to the material world. Although somebody may call him mad, as Navayagendras are explaining, the beautiful verse, evam vatasya prenama kirtya jatana rago dhritajitta ucchaihi evam hasati rotiti rauti gayati unmadavanti tiloka bahya. It is said, such a Mahabhagavad devotee, he dances, he shouts the Lord's names loudly, evam vatasya prenama kirtya jata anurago, because the anuraga that is born in his heart, the great attachment for the Lord, because of that, Rukasitta Uchaihi, he loudly chants the Lord's name. Hasati, sometimes he laughs loudly. Rauti sometimes starts crying. Rauti means becomes agitated in mind. Evam hatati rauti te rauti. Ayati unmadam and dittati. Unmadam and dittati means to dance madly. Loka bhashasa. Without caring for the public opinion. That is a devotee. He doesn't even know who is besides him. So that's a very beautiful verse of Madhavendra Puri that comes to my mind. Madhavendra Puri says he says different things. Like the neighbor, they consider the devotee an idiot. Like the Jaimini, the monks or followers, they consider him a fool. The Vedanta followers, they consider him illusioned. And the Karmakandis, they consider him misguided. The offenders consider him a pretender. And the devotees consider him to be carrying the crushed jewel, diamond, of all achievements that a sadhaka can carry. In this way, a devotee never bothers about the public opinion. He is so satisfied with his love that his behavior cannot be understood by anybody. That is why a madman on one hand and a Paramahansa devotee on the other, both of them may do activities which are very strange, cannot be understood by the public. The madman has absolutely no understanding of what is what, but the Paramahansa devotee has already achieved the perfection of his life. So he behaves in that way in the prema stage. And in that prema stage, the Lord becomes extremely pleased with the devotee. And Lord gives his darshan to the devotee at that stage. Then, actually the Lord's darshan is called as Saundarya, or the Lord's beautiful form. So, for the first time in his life, the prema bhakta, who has fallen in love with the Lord, he achieves the form of the Lord in front of his eyes. That's called as Saundarya. When he sees the form, he falls unconscious. In fact, there is a great loving reciprocation between the Lord and his devotee, that is explained. First, the Lord shows the Saundarya, then he shows the Saurabhya. Saurabhya means the smell, the fragrance of the Lord. When he smells, it is said all the other senses, they all become like noses. Like the eyes, the ears, the tongue and the skin, everything become like noses to smell the fragrance of the Lord. When the Lord shows the Saundarya, all the other senses become like eyes. Lord speaks to him. So in that stage, the Lord tells the devotee, even the mastership over this earth, or the mastership over all the heavens and all the demigods, is like just extra for a devotee. There's absolutely no value for these things. My dear great devotee, so many nights, so many days, so many nights, so many winters, so many summers, so many years, so many lifetimes, you have been without any distraction or deviation, you have been in a pinpointed way, focusing all your attention and love upon me. So what can I give you in return? In fact, you are considering the Brahmajyoti to be like a naraka, hellish planet. Because you don't want to go to liberation, moksha. Nor do you want to go to heavenly planets, let alone all the material benefits, which are like hay that we feed to cows. Krishna says, it's like hay that we feed to cows. You have absolutely no value for the things of this material world. One great poet sings, The great mountain, Sumeru, is like some pieces of dirt for devotee. The great oceans are like puddles. The sun is like a firefly. Like that he is telling. So for great devotees, these things are paltry. These things are very trivial for them. So God says, what can I offer you? I have nothing to offer. I have to offer myself to you. So this way, the Lord completely offers himself to the devotee. And devotee, after having heard all this, and having seen the Lord's loving speech, he starts crying tears and he reciprocates. He says, Lord, what have I done for you? In fact, you only brought me to the association of devotees. You only brought me to the assembly of devotees and to my spiritual master. And you appeared in the form of your deity. You gave the scriptures. And by all this association, you have dragged this wretched soul from a very sinful way of life up to this level. And you are claiming that I have done something. I have not done anything like that the pure devotee speaks to the Lord. So this stage is called Saurya. And beyond that, there is Saukumarya. So there are several stages like that in which, in the Saukumarya stage, the Lord gives a sense of touch. If a devotee is in Dasyaras, and the Lord gives his lotus feet on his head. If a devotee is in Sakshiras, then the Lord claps both his hands and dances with him. If a devotee is in Sakshiras, then the Lord wipes the tear of the devotee's eyes. And if the devotee, every year as such, that embraces the devotee. And in this way, through the sense of touch, the Lord completely satisfies all the senses of the devotee. What is experience like? Other experiences, you know, don't ask me. It is useless asking me. Then a poet cannot describe the things in words. But still, I will give you an example. He is giving the example just like he saw a very huge elephant was caught in a forest fire, in a forest which is filled with fire, and he has no way to escape. And then somehow or other, he escapes from the forest and comes to a place where there is a big shower of rain from thick, heavy rainy clouds, and his entire body is completely cooled by water. How will they say? This is maybe a minuscule example he gives. Another example he gives, as a person who is made to run in a desert where there is scorching heat of the sun, and there is sand everywhere in all directions. Such a person is feeling a very great thirst and very great hunger. If such a person is God under the shade of a huge banyan tree which has thick branches, and the entire banyan tree is covered with hundreds and thousands of ice-cold Ganges waters, so how will he feel? It is the same experience the pure devotee feels when he achieves Krishna's touch. In this way, the Prema Bhakta experiences a very great joy and bliss which cannot be described in words. So this is the ultimate perfection of spiritual life, as Prabhupada explains here, Adarsha Dhatata Sadhu Sangha. So these are all described in the scriptures, how one can gradually elevate oneself in the state of Shraddha. Shraddha, and then Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarthana Vritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and then Prema. So we all are going to go through these stages and come to the stage of Prema, where we can achieve the intimate association of the Lord Himself directly. So, in order to achieve this stage of love, one has to very sincerely execute devotional service. As in the beginning, with great patience, as given directions given by Rupa Goswami, the following the six things, Atyahara, Prayas, Chaturbhya, Nimagraha, Ganasangarsha, Laudyanta, Shagdir, Pastir, Vinashyati. You have to give up those six things, Utsaha, Nishtya, Dharya, Tattakvina, Pravartana. We have to follow those six things. The mechanical we should do, whatever is practical we should reject. And in this way, if you perform bhakti, bhakti is so scientific. Gradually one can come to a stage where one can reciprocate love with Krishna. It is very much possible for every soul. Bhakti is very scientific. And Krishna here says, Puta Madhava Madhata, he says. There are already people who have perfected their life in that way in the past by undergoing this type of process from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So, bhakti is not some weird concept. Like many a times if you see religious people going to temples, many people don't know. They just go, they roll their eyes and fold their palm and come out. What is the developing love for the Lord? So many a times people have a very, very preliminary understanding of religion. Whether they worship God out of fear or out of a sense of duty, or they do it as a matter of religious tradition, or they do it as a matter of social etiquette. So in this way, people are performing some kind of religion. But the real religion is this, when one exclusively surrenders to Krishna, as Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, surrender unto me. Then by such a surrender, and by such a sincere devotional service, one can please the devotees and please Krishna, and gradually advance to such a stage where one can face the Lord with one's own eyes. One can face to face with Krishna. One can play with Krishna, dance with Krishna, and one will become a part of the spiritual world, even while being in this world. Such a person is called as a Jivan Mukta. He becomes a Jivan Mukta while being in this world. Then he is completely free to travel anywhere. And for him, the material world and spiritual world, there is no difference, because he is seeing Krishna everywhere. He is constantly absorbed in Krishna's thoughts, and his entire services become Krishnaized. And he becomes a source of inspiration for everyone around him. So in this way, Krishna says there are many pure devotees in the past who became free from Vita, Raga, Bhaya, Krodha, and all these three things. They became free from it and they achieved the real transcendental position that they could reciprocate with Krishna. So I took advantage of this particular purpose where Prabhupada speaks about Adarsha Sadhu Sangha so that we can know more in detail about the process of bhakti. Because bhakti is a very scientific process. So sincerely performed, it can elevate the person very quickly. In bhakti, there are two things which are very important for advancing devotee. One is a devotee should completely avoid asat sangha. As far as possible, one should completely avoid asat sangha. Another thing is a devotee should avoid offenses. These two things everybody sincerely does, then a devotee will eat and bounce in spiritual life. There is no doubt about it. And he can very quickly achieve a very great taste in the path of bhakti. And they say once a person develops a taste, then there is no stoppage. Then one can go ahead further and further and further to develop prema, love of Krishna at a very high stage. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
How can you describe Bharat
Maharaj's
program from our stage?
Because
he was beyond
asset.
He had no asset.
Actually, he was not in bhava stage. He was in the preliminary stages of bhava. That means he was almost at the mature stage of asset. So, which will gradually lead him to bhava. You see the Buddha is explaining, Bhagavatam is explaining that he was in the preliminary stages of bhava. He was about to achieve bhava. He was in that stage. Actually, whatever happens in the life of such great devotees, suddenly there is some lesson to learn. He never had the association of devotees in the past. So that is one very strong point many devotees say. Here also I was explaining, even in the asakti stage, a devotee goes to the assembly of Vaishnavas and he says, oh, today my life will be successful because I am getting the association of all these Vaishnavas. By their association, all my sinful actions will vanish and I will start chanting the Lord's names happily. So, he says, in every stage you need the association of devotees for progressing. No one can ever think that now I have achieved so much advancement that I don't need any association. So, Bharat Maharaj renounced everything and went to forest and he was alone. And when he committed a mistake of showing compassion to the deer, there was no one to give him good advice. When we are in the midst of devotees, how much ever we are advanced, we also have somebody, we always have somebody senior to us, who will tell us, oh yeah, this is wrong, we should not do like this. Because even sometimes best of the devotees commit mistakes. We may not know why, but when he commits mistakes, somebody tells them, they become immediately careful. That he had nobody to give him good advice. So, that is one of the strongest reasons that he said. So, when Shastra examples we see, from Ajamila we learn, from Bharata we learn, from everyone's life, from Chittagata's story we learn so many things. So, that is the only lesson that our acharyas tell us. Anybody has any other questions? Which type of offenses? There are so many types of apradhas. Vaishnavaprad. That means, because life is hectic, we commit Vaishnavaprad. So, you know, a lot of time I thought you will commit Vaishnavaprad. Because you start speculating about what devotees are doing. When life is busy, you have no time to commit apradha. No, in any case, when Vaishnavaprad actually means that when we are very envious towards someone, and you are making a plan to assassinate their character, then it is Vaishnavaprad. Like you have envious tendency towards some devotee, then Krishna doesn't like it. Because it is as good as envying Krishna. Because Krishna says in the 11th canto, Sadhava Hridayam Masyam Sadhana Mahidantayam Aranyatyana Jananti Ahantushimanagati. He says, my devotee is in my heart. So if you are him, the devotee is in Krishna's heart, so you are envying Krishna. It's like that. So you may say, no, my envy is justified. That person is actually behaving like that, you may say. But still, however a person may behave, a devotee is always supposed to see the good qualities in others and gradually train oneself to see only the good qualities in others and not see the faults in others. So Vaishnavaprad may be in the mind, it may be in words, or we may even show it in action. So we should, if it is in the mind, we should try to gradually purge it by chanting the holy names and associating with very advanced devotees. And if it has come out in the words, then better we should go to them and we can tell them, knowingly or unknowingly, I have spoken about you like this. I don't know. I'm very sorry. By slip by the tongue I spoke about you. Please kindly forgive me. If you say like that, Krishna will be very pleased. Then immediately we are forgiven. So whenever we think we have committed an apradha, generally I have seen devotees from other centers and they visit us and stay for a few days while going, they say, Prabhuji, if I have committed some offenses knowingly or unknowingly, please forgive. So this is a very nice method. Because when you go out, generally we commit offenses sometimes. We think this is not good, that's not good, because we always have a fault-finding tendency. So, to say that it is a very good policy, that I might have committed some offenses, please forgive. Any other questions? Yeah? नाम अपराध ओनली नाम अपराध भक्त्युत भक्त्युत इज ओनली दुस्तुज लापदृष्ट व्यापन तो दीज आर अनर्थ विच हेव टू बी ओवरकम सी अनर्थ निवृत्ति सर निवृत्ति मीन्स यू हेव टू गेट फ्री फ्रॉम दीज कैंड ऑफ अनर्थ भक्त्युत अपराधुत ऑल दीज फोर थिंग्स यू हेव टू गेट फ्री प्रतिष्ठा मेन फ्रेम अड्रेशन डिस्टिंक्शन Laya, laya means sleep. That means sleeping during kirtanam or japa or any other type of devotion service. That's laya. Second is vikshepa. Vikshep means distraction. And third is called apratipati. Apratipati means a kind of indifference or disinterest even in the absence of laya and vikshepa. Apratipati. Even in the absence of laya and vikshepa, sometimes we find indifference. So that happens occasionally, Vishnu Chakrabarti says. Three, apratipati, then fourth is kashaya. Kashaya means bad habits like lust, greed and anger. Kashaya. Fifth is called as rasavada. Rasavada means becoming attracted to some sense pleasure while performing devotional service. Rasavada means becoming attracted to some sense pleasures while performing devotional service. We get distracted from that. So, yeah, these are all actually to be overcome.
Prabhupada
says in book that
by choosing a spiritual master, we should be a devotee. So it should be in which of the stage?
Actually, clearly, a spiritual master or advanced devotees, they will be certainly above the stage of asakti. They will be above, they will be certainly in asakti, bhava, or prema, one of the stages. As far as it's very difficult to judge a devotee, like we say, it takes. So if you are a pure devotee, then you can know who is a pure devotee. But there are some symptoms given in the shastra. Adyeshta, sarabhutana, maitatrana, yavacha, nirmamonira, hankara, samadukkachapachame, santishta, satam, yodhya, ratmadarashya, many, many qualities are given. So you can study those qualities if you can. And also by associating with different spiritual masters, we get inspiration from someone. We get inspiration by associating with them. And then that person who inspires us the most to advance in bhakti, that person becomes a spiritual master. Whoever inspires us the most. That. Then the progress in spiritual life. Like happiness and distress he shows. That means for material things? For spiritual things. Oh, that is even in prema stage. The person in the Madhana Krishna, he will jump. He will say, so that's why he was telling, Unmadavan Nirtati, he said, no? He dances madly without caring for public opinion. So even great devotees, when they get some opportunity for Krishna service, they will jump and show ecstasy. And when they lose something which was meant for Krishna, they may cry. So with respect to Krishna, you can lament or you can rejoice. With respect, that is spiritual. Like Ashwatthama also was crying sometimes. Then Devi Krishna, after she bound him with the burning mortar, then when she was released, he was not able to come to Yashoda. Yashoda was crying like anything. So even few devotees cry, but that crying is with respect to Krishna. That is considered purely spiritual. So that is called spiritual anxiety. So devotee can have spiritual anxiety, certainly. But with respect to material things, like we cry sometimes, oh, today again I didn't get my morning prasadam. So we cry, that is material. So our lamentation or rejoicing with respect to material things, that is condemned. We have to overcome that. In fact, I didn't tell you some things. Like in the state of asakti, it is said, the person becomes so indifferent, like he considers his friendship of this material world to be like a forest which is full of thorns. Like he considers he doesn't have any taste for eating. He is very low. And hearing about Krishna, that he forgets eating prasadam also. That's what he says. But our stage, we have to mind that prasadam at the right time. So, like it's a good question you asked. Such a stage, one becomes free from material lamentation and hankering. Na shashati, na kanshati. He becomes free from that. Correct. Yes. Spiritual lamentation
and spiritual rejoicing both lead to bliss. Both of them lead to bliss. Like for example, in the Buddha, in fact, that similar separation can be felt even by the disciples of a spiritual master. The spiritual master goes away to a faraway place. The disciples are always reminded of him. Morning they see his picture, evening they see his, so my spiritual master tells me to do these things, so they do it. But in that feeling of separation, there is also a great joy. So, in the spiritual world also, when Krishna goes away from the rasa dance, the gopis are feeling separation. But in that separation, they could see the presence of Krishna much more than when Krishna was actually present. Like that. So spiritual separation and spiritual union both lead to bliss. But in material world, material pleasure and material pain both lead to pain. You understand? In material world, something may be considered pleasure, but ultimately it leads to pain. And material pain is certainly pain, everyone knows. So material world, both pleasure and pain lead to pain. In spiritual world, both anxiety and union, they lead to bliss. It can be difficult for us to understand. Like in material world, sometimes you think like that. If you have a very intimate spiritual friend, and you are separated from him, the very thought of that friend, immediately, you tell the name of the person, immediately his form comes to your eyes, immediately his qualities, his activities, his attributes, everything comes to your mind. And it is as good as it is personally, like that. And it is an eternal relationship. As a relationship with the devotees, as well as with Krishna, is eternal. Whereas in the material world, the man and woman may love one another, and they may think our union and separation is very wonderful, they may think. But then they both have to shed their bodies, isn't it? So that is not a permanent relationship. So both are ultimately, pleasure and pain lead to pain in the material world. In the spiritual world, the anxiety also leads to great pressure. If it doesn't lead to great pressure, then why should Krishna put them in anxiety? When Krishna was entering the Yamuna, you know, to dance on Kaliya, first he was caught in the curls of the Kaliya. So when Krishna was trapped in Kaliya's tail, what do you call it? Kuj. Not Kuj exactly. Coils, yeah. He was caught in the coils of Kaliya, then all the Vijayabhasis, they were all crying. They actually Yashoda Mata went into the water. But Balaram actually pacified all of them. Don't worry, nothing will happen to Krishna. So Krishna puts them in anxiety to increase the love of the devotees for him. Their love increases for him. Like that. So maybe it may be difficult for us to appreciate how can love increase by putting somebody in anxiety. So we will experience it as we advance in spiritual life. In material world there's a perverted reflection. That we sometimes hide something and then show a person, isn't it? Like for example, if you hide something from a child, hide and say, find out where is it, you hide it behind. Then the interest of the child in seeing that object becomes much more. And that of Krishna. Krishna is a small little Krishna, he took it in his hands. And when child was asking, Papa, I want the Krishna, I was telling. So Papa took it in his hands and he hid behind it. Papa, where is Krishna? Child says, Papa, you have Krishna. Said, you have got Krishna with you. So Papa taught many lessons to this. That he hid the Krishna's deity from child. So that the love of the child can increase for Krishna, so that afterwards Prabhupada can give the child. Another thing Prabhupada also wanted to show, that if one wants to achieve Krishna, one has to send up your pure devotee, who is actually carrying Krishna in his heart. So, anxiety also is actually bliss in spiritual life. We take so many anxieties for the sake of serving the spiritual master. Isn't it? It's very wonderful to have those anxieties, because those anxieties actually lead one to advancement in devotion service. One takes anxieties for Guru or Krishna. So we can chant one time? It's very late. I will sing at him.